people shared disinformation about a fake nationwide lockdown last month. And now U.S. officials say Chinese agents probably helped spread the message. It circulated so much that the White House's National Security Council called it out on Twitter as fake. The campaign is alarming some security experts because it reveals a new tactic, sending disinformation directly to Americans as text messages. You're part of this conversation. Did you get one of those messages? Maybe someone forwarded the warning to you. What did you do with the information when you saw it? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Christine Lee is an associate fellow at the Center for a New American Security's Asia-Pacific Security Program. Her research is focused on U.S.-China relations and Chinese and Russian disinformation, among other things. Christine, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Kaylee. Thanks so much for having me here with you today.
Certainly. Tell us about these fake messages about a nationwide lockdown that we saw last month. What would I have seen if I'd gotten one of the messages?
Sure. So preliminary analysis has shown that Chinese state actors, just zooming out a little bit, have sought to broadly sow confusion and spin narratives designed to taint the United States' response to the pandemic. And so in these particular messages that were sent out via text, we're seeing sort of a novel evolution of Chinese disinformation tactics. Both in the sense that, you know, they're leveraging a new platform that is, you know, directly pushing out false information to Americans through their cell phones. And secondly, that the messages are focused on sort of creating confusion and societal, eroding societal faith in democratic institutions. And so, these text messages were sort of riling up public fear about a nationwide lockdown with the deployment of military to prevent, you know, rioters and looters. And so it's been a really fascinating trend line to observe, and one in which, you know, we're seeing Chinese state actors adopt tactics that have traditionally been deployed more by Russian actors.
The messages, though, it sounds like did not originate with China, but China had a role in spreading them?
That's exactly right. And I think that it's a disinformation tactic that's becoming increasingly common in that state actors are sort of tracking conspiracy theory websites and social media accounts and amplifying pre-existing conspiracy theories through a number of different media, including through automated bots and trolls and through both American and Chinese social media accounts that ultimately belong to state actors.
President Trump was asked about China's disinformation campaign on Fox News last month. Here's a bit of what he said.
They do it and we do it and we call them different things.
I mean, that's a striking statement. Is he right? Do all countries do this and we just need to accept that?
I don't think that's an accurate assessment. What China's doing is fundamentally different from the narrative shaping that most other countries pursue, in that, authoritarian countries like China, their information space is entirely closed off to the rest of the world. And so the United States and China are operating on a fundamentally uneven playing field. Chinese state actors have complete access to American platforms, including Twitter, Facebook, and many other forms of media. But the United States obviously can't conduct the same operations within China's borders. And so I think, you know, what we're seeing amid the pandemic is that Beijing is really moving to shape the global information environment in ways that are favorable to advancing its authoritarian aims.
So it sounds like then the end goal is a stronger China.
That's exactly right. And I think that the post-pandemic world will really sort of unveil a new era in U.S.-China competition.
Christine Lee is an associate fellow at the Center for a New American Security, who specializes in Chinese and Russian disinformation. And we're talking about some text messages that then spread around to people about a fake lockdown last month. And some of the information that of this was being spread by text messages to Americans. And then we saw them, you know, seeing this, checking with family or friends, saying, did you get this, and spreading it that way. Do we know how widely then this fake information spread?
It's a good question. A lot of it is sort of dependent on the extent to which these messages were proliferating through social media applications and on social media sites. And the text messages appear to have gained traction on mainstream platforms like Facebook and Twitter. And so I think to the extent that the text messages were also being referenced on social media applications, they sort of created this mutually reinforcing feedback loop of fear and confusion about what was actually happening.
Why is it hard to try to monitor disinformation that's shared via text message or messaging apps that's different than how we see social media, for instance?
Sure. So I think, you know, that the way in which messages are conveyed on social media applications, there are ways in which the platforms can monitor information and flag it as being potentially suspicious and affiliated with a state actor. When those messages are being sent directly to people's phones, there isn't a simple way of tracking the sort of originating source of the messages. And so I think it's really a fascinating evolution in the way in which, you know, Chinese state actors are trying to get false information in the hands of individual Americans.
And certainly when the point is to confuse and provide disinformation, there isn't a label on it that says, you know, you shouldn't trust this. So what are some practical tips for people who may have encountered this disinformation or will in the future to kind of help us spot it?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, there are always general best practices when assessing information that's being transmitted through applications and through emails and through individual messages. You know, the first is, of course, being careful about downloading new applications in the first place. It's interesting to note that Beijing is becoming increasingly invested in sort of pushing out new social media applications, including, those that are very popular amongst young Americans like TikTok. And so I think just being careful about what you're downloading on the sort of Apple App Store, and of course, being very careful about clicking links that are transmitted through text messages and in emails. And I think what you're doing today is exactly right. It's, you know, educating the American public about new tactics that both Chinese and Russian state actors are leveraging to harvest data and to enable the spread of false information. And I think that a lot of the onus is on, not only state and local governments, but also the federal government to invest in educating the American public from a very young age about media literacy and about making informed decisions when it comes to information consumption.
So be a little skeptical of those text messages. Check with some reliable sources before you believe them.
Absolutely. Stay attuned to mainstream media and public discussion about disinformation that's occurring and will likely continue to occur as the pandemic continues on for the next several months.
Christine, thank you for sharing your expertise with us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Christine Lee, a specialist in Chinese and Russian disinformation from the Center for a New American Security, with us today to talk about disinformation that was shared last month about a fake national lockdown in the U.S. and China's involvement in spreading that message.